Well, that was awesome.
Thank you so much. Oh, and I can just feel it sitting over there. I'm like, oh, Mindy, don't go there. Don't go there. Don't go there. But it's like riding a bike, you know? It's like riding a bike. This is my first Sunday gig since COVID. So, like, in person, I've done lots of the Zoom stuff, but, you know, I had to, like, put on shoes. So it's really great to be here, and it's so good to see so many old friends and so many new friends as well. I am Mindy Odlin, your pioneering spiritual leader of Unity of Wimberley. And so when Leah reached out, this was during the summer when you were looking for guest speakers, and said, any chance you're going to be in Texas anytime? And I said, well, we're going to come down for Thanksgiving because my family's in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And I'm like, well, I could pop down for the weekend, and I would love to do that. So we arranged the details. The night after we confirmed this date, I had a dream. And in that dream, I was walking into the sanctuary through those two doors. And as I walked in the center of the sanctuary, were all the children. All those kids. We had 40 kids in our youth program. And they were all waiting for me in the sanctuary. And when I opened the door, they all instantly recognized me. And they came and they gave me a great big hug. And I looked them in the eyes. And I said, wow, look at you. You've gotten so big. But in my dream, they weren't really big. In my dream, they were exactly the way I left them. So today I thought I'd bring you a love story. This is a small sliver of a much larger story told from the perspective of just one character among many that are part of this story. But it is a story that is very rich in spiritual teachings, and it is a story that did transform my life. So here's how it begins. Now faith, hope, and love abide. And the greatest of these is love. Love gets all the credit. It gets all the glory, doesn't it? Love, 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 love. It's the greatest of all three. The truth is, nothing happens without all three. So today I thought I'd give a little more stage time to hope and faith. This is a story that begins with hope. It was spring 2004. I was engaged. And we had just moved to Austin. We just bought a house out in Manchac, just getting ready to live our newlywed life. And I had moved back to Austin. I had first found Unity through the Unity Church of Austin that was in the south side of Austin. When I brought my fiancé at the time here, I said, let's check out this Unity Church. You just might like it. Might be not churchy enough for you. And so he was going. I was a speaker teaching leadership training, and I was gone most weekends leading leadership retreats. One Sunday evening, my husband now, fiancé at the time, picked me up at the airport. He said, we had the most amazing speaker at church today, South Austin. Her name is Edwene Gaines, and I want you to hear her. She's speaking at the CSL Church on the north side of Austin this evening, or it was Monday evening, so I'm like, okay, sure, let's go. I'd never seen him excited about something that he had heard in church. He was really excited. So we went to this workshop and listened to it. Nod your head if you have heard Edwene Gaines speak. She's amazing. She's a prosperity teacher. And we came out of that workshop on fire, absolutely on fire. And I remember walking out of that church building and walking under the oak trees to where we had parked the car and looking at my then fiancé and saying, I think we should do this. What do you think? I said, I'm all in. Are you all in? And he's like, I'm all in. Let's do this. Let's do this. Let's do this. So I pause here to ask you, on your own spiritual journey, in this moment here and now, would you consider yourself to be all in? And if you are, if you feel that to be your truth, or if you hope for that to be your truth, then I invite you to speak it, to affirm it with me. Repeat after me, I'm all in. I'm all in. And breathe in, because we heard you. What happens when you're all in? Well, the next thing we did, we went back to the church. We signed up for that 10-week prosperity course that always comes after Edwin Gain comes and does her presentation. We did the Stretton Smith 4T prosperity. I think it was 10 weeks, 12 weeks, something like that. And to do that course, you had to be committed, right? It was about first session, commitment. You're going to meditate every day. You're going to do affirmations 100 times, repeating, I am a child of God. I am prosperous. I am prosperous. I am prosperous. We did all that. We wrote our lists of goals. We committed to volunteering at the church. We committed to tithing 10% of our gross income. We did all the things that you have to do for that prosperity. All the principles of prosperity, we chose for those 12 weeks to be all in. And we absolutely held each other accountable for it. One of the things we do in that prosperity course was we'd write down our goals. And among them, there were lots of them, but among them, one of the things that was on that goal list was my husband, Sean, he wanted a motorcycle. So motorcycle on there. You're in the Hill Country. Well, now we're Austin Hill Country motorcycle. I'm like, okay. And then for me and for him as well, the big thing was, like, someday, wouldn't it be cool to run a spiritual retreat center in the Texas Hill Country? Wouldn't that be cool? Maybe 5 years from now, 10 years, one day, someday, we could run a spiritual retreat center out in the Hill Country. So we wrote all of that down, and we read it every day, and we repeated it. I subscribed to Farm and Ranch magazine so I could see all the properties for sale, and I circled the one. I'm like, I don't want that one. I don't want that one. Ooh, I like that one. You know, like, I would circle all the ones. I drew a circle on the map, like, this is the area where I want it because it's close to an airport, because it's whatever. I acted as if. So this is the part of the story where hope meets faith. So hope is a function of the mind. It's the ability to, it's that imagination that we have in the back of the room, anchoring here. Imagination, it's the ability to see that which is not here yet, right? What do you hope for? What do you hope for in your life? What do you hope for this community? What do you hope for the world? It requires the imagination. And it lives in our mind. So it begins with hope. And let's affirm this. So repeat after me. The story begins with hope. The story begins with hope. From that hope, now there is a feeling of alignment with that idea. Have you ever hoped for something and didn't think it was possible? So it's just pie in the sky, right? But if we have hope and we have faith, it feels different, right? It feels different. And when we have hope and we have faith, we are different. We be different. So we have this little vision. We got my Farm and Ranch magazine. And Sean and I are driving through North Austin. It's a Saturday afternoon. We look up. We see a billboard. Home and Garden Show today at the convention center. And I say, oh, we should go choose the landscaping for our new spiritual retreat center in the Hill Country. Let's go pick it out. And he's like, okay. So we take off to this Home and Garden Show. And I remember, you know, we're just like all into this prosperity course. Like, it's everything that we're doing. So I remember walking into the door of this huge expo, and there's all these tables, and they all have their, you know, signed up here for information, all that kind of stuff. And I remember walking through those doors, and I turn to him, and I say, I'm going to win everything. I'm going to sign up for everything, and I'm going to win everything. And so we went from booth to booth to booth to booth, and they'd say, would you like to register to win a free lawnmower? Yes, I would. And I would sign up. I'm going to win that. I'm going to win that. I won a set of steak knives that day at a kitchen demonstration. You know, they drew my name out of it. I was like, I'm going to win stuff because I'm in a prosperity course. So I go home with my steak knives, pretty proud of myself. About a week later, there was one of the tables had a sign-up sheet for, we're going to do a raffle for a free motorcycle. So I'm like, ooh, you got to get on that one. You got to get on that one. We're going to win that. We're going to win that. So we were really vibing on, we're going to win this motorcycle. So about a week later, we get the phone calls, you know, start getting the calls from everybody. One of the phone calls says, hey, you put your name in our raffle for a motorcycle. And I'm like, oh, did we win? And they said, no. But you can have another chance to win. We'll put your name in the raffle again, and we'll give you a $100 Target gift card, which, you know, cash is on the list. You know, I was like, all right, we're getting some cash now. All you gotta do is go to the Texas Hill Country and look at real estate. We're like, okay, let's go. So we're all the way there. We're thinking, okay, well, you know, we had just bought a house. We had, you know, we weren't even married yet. We were engaged to be married and, you know, like, what are we doing looking at real estate? Like, this is, like, ridiculous. But it's clearly a sign, right? We're in this prosperity course. We put it out there. So we go. The person who was supposed to show us got busy. They ended up putting us with this other guy. This other guy takes us out in his car, driving us through Canyon Lake, down all these empty properties with these beautiful vistas. And we're just picking his brain. Tell us about what it's like to live in the hill country. What's it like? What's the weather like? Where do you shop? What do you, you know, we're just asking, what's it like to live here? And finally, at the end of the tour, he pulls the car over top of this hill, looking over this beautiful, expansive view, and he says, so, would you like to buy one of these lots? And we said, truth be told, only reason we're here is because we're in a prosperity course at our church, and one of the things on our list is that we someday want to have a spiritual retreat center somewhere out here in the hill country. And he says, really? I told him, I was a leadership trainer. He says, really? My church just bought a 43-acre ranch in the Texas Hill Country, and we're looking for a leadership trainer to work with our board. And I said, okay, right. What kind of church is it? It's a Unity church. And it was like, mic drop. It's like, you know, it was like in the movies, you know, when the sound goes, whoa, and the lights change, and everything spins around in the background. It was like one of those moments where it's like, what just happened here? Like, we're on week 6 of our 10-week program, and I want it all. I want it all. But, and so, well, and that's the thing, Terry. That's the thing, is that while I had my list and my affirmations, here is Brian Everhard, who's our real estate guy, who in his pocket, he's on the board. He has his affirmation. We are attracting the perfect spiritual leader for our young community, blah, blah, blah. He had his thing that he was reading every single day, that he was aligned with. And at the same time, there are others who are like, we are attracting, was it Judy Hubbard? A young minister. We want our young minister to come in because we have kids and this church is for our kids and we want someone who's family. And everyone had their thing. It was not just me manifesting my thing. It was Brian manifesting his vision. It was your intention group manifesting their intention. It was the soccer moms who were manifesting their intention. All of us were affirming, this is what I want. And the faith, the assurance of things hoped for. The conviction of things not seen. So this is the part of the story where hope and faith become manifest. And it's like, wow, this stuff works. You know, if we listen, if we practice it, amazing things happen. And it's hard. And it was really hard. And that's the next piece of this. Okay, so first takeaway, it all begins with hope. Second key point, hope is an asset. It is not a strategy, right? Hope is an asset. We cannot do anything. When hope is lost, all is lost. We cannot do anything without hope. And this is the time in our collective consciousness where that is an issue. People are losing hope. I have to, like, sometimes, like, okay, where is it? What am I hopeful for? Because it seems sometimes the odds are so stacked against us. It seems like it gets more and more difficult to hope. Hope is an asset. We need it. But it is not a strategy. It is something we have. It is not something to do. Well, I hope for the best. I'm just going to hope for the best. Hope is an asset. It is not a strategy. Because if you just sit there and hope for things to change, nothing changes. When you bring hope to faith and believe that things can change, that faith is what moves us. And what moves us, when what moves us is the power of love, which is the power of God, that is how things are created. So what happened in this amazing convergence, Brian that day gave us the address of this church. And eventually we found it. We drove it. Eventually we found it. And as we were driving up the hill, I was like, Sean, this is it. This is what we visioned. And I remember we walked in, and this room was, there was scaffolding all around here. I think there was originally a hole in the ceiling where a tree was growing, but I think they covered that up. That was before my time. The ceiling was here, but there was scaffolding everywhere. Yeah! That was looking good. That was after a lot of work right there. That was after a lot of work. Folding chairs that were, you know, designed for little people. They were very uncomfortable. And then we had the decor in the back. I think Leah found that out in the yard. Like, we just, like, found stuff and we made it decorations. The floor was concrete. It was like an echo chamber. There was nothing on the walls. So I remember walking through and coming into this empty space, no stage, no empty scaffolding, concrete, tin roof, and walking around and thinking, where will I speak? I thought it would be that. I thought the stage would be over there, maybe, or maybe it's in the corner. Where will I speak? And as I walked the room, I envisioned, we had no chair, we had nothing. It was just an empty space. And I envisioned this room full of people and full of music and full of beauty. And I knew, I told John on the way home, I said, we're going to live there. This is where we're supposed to be. This is it. And that's when the only way through is when we activate the power of love. Because it was not easy. It was not easy, and hope is not a strategy. We didn't hope for things to work out. We rolled up our sleeves, and we cleaned the toilets, and we vacuumed 10,000 square feet, and we picked up cow patties from the cows that wandered over, and we relocated scorpions that wandered into our... We have cats now, so don't worry about that. So we did whatever needed to be done so that we could do this. Now, in the beginning, the whole reason, there was a whole pre-story, you know, the prequel, which is all the people who got to the point where we had this facility. So our first day to visit this place was on April 1st, 2004, which also happened to be the first Sunday when this was the church's property. That was when we came. We got married on April 10th, 9 days later. And when we came back, we rolled up our sleeves and, like, I don't know exactly what this looks like, but I know we're supposed to help. We had, in the beginning, the way this place was financed, it was on an owner financing note that was a balloon note. So every month, we owed a little bit more. We owed a little bit more, a little bit more. For the first 3 or 4 months, it was a stretch, but we did it. And then we got into month 5 and month 6, and it was a little tighter and a little tighter. And those intentions we had in the beginning, like, okay, this will buy us 4 months, 6 months, it got harder. It got to be more and more stressful at the end of the month because we had this commitment. And it got to the point where at the end of the month, we didn't have that balloon note. We didn't have what was, you know, let's do this month. And it got to where the end of that year, 2004, we had to do something different because we just weren't big enough to follow through on what we had committed. What we had hoped would work out didn't work out. So it's a story of hoping and believing and yay, and then ooh, and then hoping and then believing and yay, and then ooh. So I remember it was right after Thanksgiving, it was this time of year, we were in that space of, I don't know if we're going to be able to be here January 1st. And we thought, well, let's just pretend like we will be. Let's pretend like, how about we build a labyrinth? We built the labyrinth not knowing if we were going to be here 3 weeks later. We acted as if, and I say all this as if that was like, oh, my faith was steadfast. It was not. It had lots of flat tires along the way. And I remember several conversations where we were like, what were we thinking? What were we thinking? But there's momentum in faith. Have you noticed? There's momentum in faith because when you act in faith, now the things show up. And it's like, well, we can't turn back now. Look what we've done. We've rented out our house. We're homeless if we can't make this. Like, so it was like, we'll find a way. We will find, and we tried everything. And then I am out shopping, Christmas shopping for my nephews, and I get this call "Are you sitting down?" Like, yes, I wasn't, but yes. And she said, "The owners of this property that we're owner financing, they've given us 3 years. We couldn't get a traditional financing because we weren't old enough. They're giving us 3 years so we can build the financial base. And they're only going to charge us $1,000 a month. And it's zero interest." And we went, "We can do this." Like, it's like the movies, like, you know, in the final hour, like, boom. It works out. It's like, great, there's only one catch. They want the $40,000 that it took to renovate the sanctuary, and they want it by April 1st. 40K in 40 days. And so we said, let's do it. I'm all in. So I won't go in. Like, there's a billion stories I could tell, but that's what happens. It's hope, and it's faith, and it's the love that will do whatever it takes, knowing that if you do whatever it takes and you follow that intuition and you follow those divine inspirations, that ultimately you're going to end up exactly where you're meant to be. Whatever happens, you're going to end up exactly where you're meant to be. And where we were meant to be, I mean, it's magnificent. It's magnificent. So, hope is an asset, not a strategy. I want to leave you with one final caveat when it comes to hope as a spiritual tool. Oh, were there more pictures? Did you have more? Let me see what else. Let me see what else you have. Just trip down memory lane. Maglin. If you have not been to Maglin's gazebo, that was from our prosperity course here, where she visioned that, and it was gifted to her after she passed. It's a memorial. And it could use a little zhuzhing. So maybe love wants to go and make that a project. Lucas. And that was our first Advent candle. And I remember the children that would light the candles each Sunday and how much they were part of our music program and our culture and our energy and our reason for doing the things that we did. Wow, look how little he is. He's so cute. So that's where we were. And that was, you know, it's almost 20 years ago. And that story has continued to grow and to evolve from those of us that were here in the beginning to those of you who are here now to those who will be here, hopefully, 20 years from now, carrying it forward to the next generation and the next generation. And I say hopefully because it begins in hope. Caveat for hope. My daughter's 15 now. She's starting to look at colleges. She's got one she really likes. She really wants to go to Skidmore College up in New York. She loves it. We did the tour. My dad was saying, what does it take to get into Skidmore? I'm like, well, you know, it's a small school. It's competitive. And he's like, well, be careful. You don't want her to get her hopes. You've heard that before, right? Sometimes you do it. We do it in our own head. I'm really excited about this, but I don't want to get my hopes up. I don't want to get my hopes up of what it could be. What if I get my hopes up and then it's not that? So anytime we run that dialogue, whether it's someone else projecting it or we're doing it to ourselves, which is really where it really lives, right? Like, do I dare get my hopes up? My question is, where should I put her hopes? Where should they be? I think that's where hope belongs. It belongs up, right? And sure, maybe I get my hopes up and I fall a little short, but wouldn't I rather do that than lower my expectations and be a success? Yes, I hit that low mark. I was just thinking, you know, you think of, you know, every miracle in the Bible, you know, turning water into wine. We're out of wine. I hope Jesus can conjure up some wine for us. That'd be great. From the lame man walking and the blind man seeing, like every miracle began with someone hoping that there could be a change. They had their hopes. I was just imagining Jesus like out there with the masses that were coming with, you know, the palms and honoring him. And hey, guys, there's only one of me. There's a lot of you. Don't get your hopes up. Not everybody gets a miracle, you know, there's a lot of you, there's only one me, so, you know, It's like, no, no, get your hopes up. Get your hopes up. That's where hope belongs. Let's affirm that. Let's affirm it like this. I give myself permission to hope. I give myself permission to hope. Get your hopes up. So here we are almost 20 years later. What do you hope for now? What do you hope for now? And do you have the faith that the things that you hope for, the assurance of those things hoped for, the conviction of the things not seen? And then, do you have the love to do whatever you can do to bring that vision to reality? So in my dream, greeted by the children, oh, look how big you are. Little kids, look how big you are. And then I made my way in my dream. I made my way over to my seat. It used to be here. It's over here now. It's close enough. So I made my way over to the seat. And as I sat down, it was 10 minutes till 11 in my dream. And I sat down and I looked out and I thought, whoops, I forgot to write a talk. Like, what am I going to say? And I had that kind of panic moment, like, here I am. I got 10 minutes. Figure it out. What am I going to say? What am I going to do? And as I was thinking about this morning, like the feeling of feeling like, okay, here I am. I'm showing up. I'm all in. What's mine to do now? And the answer that came to me this morning at 10 minutes till 11 o'clock is simply to say, I love you. And you here now are the fulfillment of the hope and the faith that I had standing in this empty room 20 years ago. Thank you. There is a PS that goes with this. Pass it on. Pass it on. So let's take that into the silence. Take a deep breath in as we move into meditation. Take a deep breath in and let's sigh it out. Breath in. And let it go with a We celebrate the power of the mind to imagine that which has never been and to hope for it. We activate the power of our imagination to allow ourselves, to empower ourselves to hope, to bring hope into our lives, to bring hope into our families, to bring hope to our neighborhoods and our communities, to bring hope to the world, to see a vision for what is possible. And from that hope, to activate the power of faith, to allow ourselves to believe that if we can conceive it, we can achieve it. To allow ourselves to believe that if that seed is planted as a divine thought, then the power of the divine can express and move through us to bring it into manifest form. So we breathe into the power of faith, noticing where our faith may feel flat, and knowing that sometimes that's okay. We can take a breath, we can lean on each other, we can connect, and together, wherever it is that we hope to go, we can make that journey. Faith and hope and love. We activate the power of love. And while hope is an asset and not a strategy, love is a strategy. Love is what we do. Love is the way. How do I bring my love to this vision? What is mine to do And together, we create miracles. That's what it looks like to the outside world. It looks like a miracle. It looks like the impossible. It looks like, as I was once told by a Unity minister, what you've done here is highly improbable. Take a deep breath in. Feel the power of alignment, congruence, when mind and heart and body move as one. Move as one. Take a deep breath in and feel it. As we move into the silence, activate that power of love in every cell of your body. With your mind focused on your hopes, your dreams, your intentions, feel the truth that that thing that is seeking, that you are seeking, it is seeking you as well. And we move into the power of love and let it guide us in all we do. Take that into the silence. Faith, hope, and love abide. The greatest of these is love. Hope and faith are pretty good too. And so it is. Amen. Amen.